prior to the break, I asked which state holds the number one category in luxury sales by city of the top 20 cities, and this was from June 2015. I would guess it has not changed. Which state is number one in all three categories, over 1, 5, and 10 million, and is only listed once? So that means that that state has one city that's the bomb. It's the bomb. Rhode Island. Hollywood Rick Rossovich texted in and is correct, and he wins. What's Nick Pardo? What's his name? Don Pardo? What do we have for Rick? We have a beehive. That's what we have. We're giving Rick is the proud owner of a new beehive. The correct answer was New York. New York. Skyscrapers and everything. And when you think about it, Manhattan is kind of ruling in the sales. Joining me now is a man who's not in New York, but he will end up being closer to New York than California. Bill Watkins has been at Cal Lutheran University since 2009. Prior to that, he was at UCSB as the economic forecast director. And prior to that, he was at the Federal Reserve Bank in Washington, D.C. His tenure at Cal Lutheran University is ending November 10th, 2016. Final event. Guest speakers, in addition to Bill, will be Joel Fox and Dan Walters, who was on last week. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Bill Watkins.
Thank you, sir. Glad to be back.
Now, a belated happy birthday. Your birthday was October 16th?
It was, yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Happy birthday. My dad was born October 16th, 1914, so he's a little younger than you.
There you go.
But you, when you see Dan Walters, you tell him that you're younger than he is, that's for sure. Because his birthday was last week on the day of the program.
Yeah, excellent.
So you're getting out of Dodge, November 10th, 2016, and where will you be living?
Tennessee. I actually have already moved to Tennessee. I have an acre on a river, Trout River, Great Trout River, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I one big negative shock is that I had no idea how much work maintaining an acre is, but I'm learning.
And is it a fenced acre?
No, I've got a fenced area in the back, a kennel for the dogs, but the rest of it's unfenced.
When you started that you got an acre on a river, it was reminding you of that routine with that comedian from Saturday Night Live. He's going to go down to a bridge. Is that heavyset guy, Chris Farley?
Last time I watched Saturday Night Live was probably in the 70s.
Yeah, the first year it was on. So it's kind of exciting. So an acre of land in Tennessee, mm-hmm. That's quite a flip from living on the West Coast and being in the yep. hub of things. And so you're going to continue consulting and writing?
I think so.
That's so do we call this semi-retired or semi-working?
Semi-working, probably better.
All right, so your last hurrah, November 10th, 2016, down in, where is that being held?
It's being held at the Sarah Center in Camarillo. It's up off of Upland Drive.
Camarillo, what's the name of the center?
Sarah. It's part of the Catholic Church owns it, the church there, and then they have this huge hall. It's one of the best facilities we've ever had events at. There's a bunch of parking. They take great care of us. The food's good. Sound system's good. All good.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. So we've got a few topics here. And, I can't even watch the news anymore because it's all about the presidential race, and it's just gives me a icky feeling. It's just, God, I just can't even believe that this is really happening. So
I understand.
Let's take the politics out of it. And forever, of course, there's always this, you know, Democrat versus Republican on the economy. And there's different, very different philosophies. And each side claims to have the answer and claims that the other side was used before, it didn't work. And one side says it did work. And what are the two different approaches, and how can both sides claim that their way will work?
Well, first, you know, you've got to distinguish the Republican sort of establishment versus the Trump plan. You know, the Republican establishment's always been pretty pro-trade. Trump is not. And neither one of them work. Neither one of them plans on doing or even proposes doing what would be necessary. Trump talks about 4% growth. You're not going to get 4% growth if you export millions of workers or stop doing trade, that sort of stuff. Just not going to work. So Clinton's plan appears to be just, you know, more of the same old stuff.
Well, wait.
Decade after decade.
Now, wait a second. Before we jump into Clinton's plan, you said that neither the Republican establishment or Trump is willing to do what is necessary to work. And I assume that's not what Hillary Clinton is proposing. So what is necessary to work?
I think what's necessary is that we do a massive evaluation of the regulatory environment, get rid of the stuff that is counterproductive, do cost-benefit analysis, starting with Sarbanes-Oxley and then proceeding with Obamacare and Affordable Health Care Act and with Dodd-Frank, we just tied businesses' hands. That along with sort of this incremental additional regulation by existing bureaucracies who, routinely reinterpret the laws to give them more power to regulate business. So I think that's probably the biggest thing that would be necessary to do.
What's happening right now in Santa Barbara is a lot of regulation on the oil industry. And, is that something like, as an economist, I don't know, you personally or most economists, do they look at that and go, look, this is growth, revenue, job. We need to do this, as opposed to someone who's just so anti-oil?
There's a justification for regulation, you know what? And that's, the theory we call it is negative externality. So, if I dump a bunch of chemicals in the river and cause all the people downriver to get ill or die, I need to be regulated out of that unless we can find a way to put a market for it. So there's reasonable, reasons for regulation. The problem is that over time, negative externalities have been defined to, messing with my view shed, this and that,
I assume you said view shed.
Yes.
Okay. Just got a little cell phone thing here. I just want to clarify that in case anyone's going to complain.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's been defined, broader and broader to the point where it's probably more costly than beneficial.
Now, did you mention the river specifically because you now own an acre on a river and you want to make sure?
No. No, that's sort of a classic textbook example that we use when we're teaching about negative externality.
It's called negative externality?
Negative externality, where I do something that causes bad things to happen to you. There's positive externalities. If it's got a neighborhood that's sort of in decline, you come in and you remodel 3 or 4 homes on the block, that's positive externality. Probably brings up everybody else's housing value.
Do you follow at all the Pacific Legal Foundation, this nonprofit group of attorneys that are traditionally sticking up for private property rights? And one guy was on recently. I'll try to find that and send it to you. It might be on my website, podcast rather. I was talking about the folks that are designed. I can't remember the name of the entity, the government entity that wants to regulate like clean water. I mean, it might even be the Clean Water Act that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And they're regulating and they're going, in their opinion, too far and far reaching and, going up, miles and miles away from the river where you're going to have a little, almost an exaggeration, droplets of water. And they're trying to tie it into the river. And so I guess someone who was opposed to that would call it a negative externality.
The negative externality is somehow whatever you're doing miles away from the river is going to hurt people downriver from you.
Now, the traditional conservative approach is less regulation, And in as an economist, you mentioned the words under, you know, what needed to be done that neither side is willing to do. At least you were talking about the Republicans or Trump. I assume you also think that the Democrats are not willing to do that either?
Yeah, no, neither party is willing to do that. You know, one of the problems is that our elected officials are more risk-averse than you and I are. So when anything bad happens in the world, they think they got to pass a law. And, you know, sometimes bad things just happen. and you know, the fact that they feel compelled to do something, show they're on the job, even if it's ultimately a zero benefit. That's sort of what Sarbanes-Oxley was. That was passed during Bush administration as a result of the Enron scandal. And, of course, everybody went to jail in the Enron scandal. You know, what they did was clearly illegal. They went to jail and all that. But
say it again. What was passed then?
Sarbanes-Oxley.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And because of that, they've imposed massive costs on particularly small business, small corporations.
So the refrain that I'm hearing, and I don't know, you know, is less regulation and more, you know, which sounds like the refrain from the Republican.
Smart regulation. There's reason to have some regulation. I mean, you can't get rid of it all. But, you know, you hear these proposals for cost-benefit analysis, and, you know, that strikes me as a pretty reasonable approach.
Yeah, when you look back on our recent modern history, you know, we've had Republican presidents, we've had Democratic presidents, we've had houses that were controlled by both parties at one time or another, and there's been no magic bullet. Nothing has actually been, you know. Now, I'm sure someone's going to point out, well, this happened that was very positive during their tenure. But
sure.
We're in kind of a, how big a hole are we in, you know, with the, how much of a concern do you wake up at 4 a.m. like me thinking about the national debt and the deficit?
I do not. That probably because you're younger than I am. I'm not going to pay it.
just don't pay. Yeah. Just say no. I'm not going to pay it. Yeah, well, you know, it's not going
to be... I do worry, to be serious, you know, I do worry about, you know, what we're leaving my children and grandchildren.
And you say neither party is willing to really do what's necessary. So is it just going to get, is going to get slowly better? Can it get slowly worse? I mean, what...
I think what we're seeing now, you know, between Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump was... lots of the public saying enough is enough. Now, you know, given the support for two rather extremely different individuals, you know, they're not sure what the right thing is, but they're tired of what we're having. And so as things slowly get worse, I would expect that that sort of uprising, if you want to call it that, is likely to become more and more prevalent.
And it'll be very interesting to see how it floats in the election, not only for the White House, but... For other offices, remember the movie Network?
Nope.
The refrain.
I watched the last movie I saw was about the same time as I watched Saturday Night Live.
Right, your TV. You stopped paying your cable bill in the 1970s. The the movie Network. God, I can't think of the actor's name, but he was opening his window. People started opening their window, and the refrain was, "I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore." And it was definitely something right out of today's playbook. I imagine also then you haven't been watching. Do you have Netflix?
No, but I do download Amazon Prime movies occasionally.
Okay. There's a TV series on Netflix called House of Cards. And the way you were describing, you know, the politics of it all is that it's a really sad commentary on all devious things that politicians can do. It's really discouraging to watching it. My guest is Bill Watkins. He's currently at Cal Lutheran University, and do you also known as the Economic Forecast Director there? That's what they called you at UCSB.
It's the Center for Economic Forecasting Center for Economic Research and Forecasting. I'm the director, and I'm with the university through November.
through November, November 10th down in Camarillo. You Google Cal Lutheran University, Camarillo, November 10th, you'll find out where that is. And Bill has relocated to an acre in Tennessee on a river. And do you have a dock? Is it a fast-moving mirror river?
No, this part of the river is rather slow. I have a neighbor has a ramp that I use to launch kayaks, and I have about a mile of river in front of the house that I can fish.
What do you mean a mile of river in front of the house? An acre?
Well, it's accessible. It's an accessible, easily accessible by kayak. So I put my kayak in using my neighbor's ramp. And I paddle up and down the river, cover about a mile of river.
You know, it seems to me I've seen pictures of you in a boat. Did you have that in one of your presentations? Are you in a boat?
I don't know. You know, given the Facebook world and the prevalence of cameras and cell phones, who knows what pictures are out there?
I got a text from Hollywood Rick that Peter Finch was the star of Network. So
okay.
If you want to ever, if you ever want, that's a good movie. If you got on Amazon, maybe you can get that. See if you can get the movie
right.
Network. It's definitely reflects, I think, some unhappy people. So basically, neither party is really willing to do what will work. We seem to be surviving and under whatever is happening. We just keep floating. Is the rest of the world in a similar boat, so that's why we're not down under, or what?
Well, part of the world is potentially much worse. The Eurozone, Japan's struggling with demographics, and they've been fighting a recession without much success for I don't know a couple of decades. Europe has an impending bank crisis, and it's likely to continue to further come apart. You know, we've had Brexit, and I wouldn't be surprised to see Italy or Greece and other countries leave, or even some Eastern European countries. So there's no part of the world that's doing really well right now. In developing countries, less developed countries are not doing particularly well. So it's a tough world out there right now.
So you think that there might be a one or two or three other countries that might follow Brexit and leave the Union. So you don't see a doomsday? Do you see that as being a real negative thing happening, or you think it might be positive?
I don't think it's near as negative as it was sold. And I said so at the time before the exit. For one thing, Britain has lots of other long-term relationships with countries they can trade without the interference from the Eurozone. Also, what everybody forgets is there's two sides to every trade. So if England is trading with France, it's profitable for both. But if England pulls out, France isn't going to cut off their nose. They're going to try to find a way to keep on doing business, and because otherwise they lose. And so, I'm pretty confident in people's ability to work around rules and try to make it work for them.
Now, you think the the powers that be at the European Union during this tenuous time with Britain leaving would not want to rock the boat, but they sure took a stand on Apple and Ireland with the tax thing. You'd think they would have held off on that. Mm-hmm. What is that a done deal, or what's going to be the results of that?
You know, legal activity in Europe is beyond me. I couldn't tell you.
Did you sell your iPhone? Did you sell your iPhone?
No. You'd be surprised how old my cell phone was. Samsung, but it's old enough it doesn't blow up.
Yeah,
on fire
exactly. Exactly. Bill Watkins is my guest. Hey, Bill, I'm kind of up against the clock, but I wanted to talk about the fact that you moved to Tennessee to be on an acre of land on a river, and we have the SOAR initiative, Save Open Space and Ag Resources. You got time to hang on and talk a little bit about that?
Sure, we'll do.
Okay, Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. We'll take a quick break. Come right back with Dr. Bill Watkins.